Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening.
The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before God is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around. God calls to the heavens above and to the earth that God may judge the people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare God's righteousness, for God is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. Mark this then, you who forget God, or I will tear you apart, and there will be no one to deliver. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go to the right way, I will show the salvation of God.
Such a good fantasy life. Oh, that felt good, Larry. We were practicing when he walked in all by himself this morning. That's like sweet. I better say something good now. Oh boy. Every summer we have opportunity to hear at least that theme song, right? And to go to the movies, and to fall in love, and to conquer the enemy, and to drive a spaceship, to explore galaxies we've never seen before. We have the Hollywood summer blockbuster, and let's just for fun watch a trailer from a few years past.
Nearly 3,000 years, man has searched for the lost Ark of the Covenant.
The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions.
Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets.
Jones, do you realize what the Ark is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
The Ark, if it is there, Eternis, then it is something that man was not meant to disturb.
It is protected by forces beyond imagination. It is desired above all treasures on Earth by those who are good, trust me, and those who are evil.
I tell you everything.
Yes, I know you will.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Let her go.
We have no time if you still want the Ark. It has been loaded onto a truck for Cairo.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. A film from Steven Spielberg and George Lucas.
Thank you.
movie totally shaped my life. My best friend, I had two best friends for forever. And one of them was a performer. He's since died. His name was Tony. And let me tell you, he had the hat, he had the whip, he had the jacket. But the most of all is he had that little leather book that was so cool, and you had to whine. We were in high school. He's a very dramatic man. I've learned that I thought summer blockbusters were always, you know, that was a huge movie to us, but they were not always. I learned that wasn't the first one. Do you know what the first, like, intentional summer blockbuster was? Can you guess? Jaws. It was. It was Jaws. Also a movie that shaped my life and swimming habits. Yeah, because guess where I saw it? Lake Tahoe. We had to drive to Reno. That was bad summer, bad summer. Jaws was the all-time, for 2 years, held the all-time most grossing film. It was only unseated 2 years later by Star Wars, of course. And a whole new genre of theater and movie going began. Because remember, that was before you had DVDs and all that. So their plan was that we would go over and over, which we did, over and over and over again. That's what a blockbuster is all about. Now this summer, actually we're going on record as having a pretty dismal summer by box office standards. The studios aren't too happy about it, apparently. But we still had some choices. You know, there was Man of Steel back in June, and World War Z, which I have not seen, but I've heard, and Wolverine, which I will see, and Heat, which I saw. Now, they're not calling that a summer blockbuster, and I'm not going to go into the gender specifics of why two women in a movie would not be deemed big enough for a summer blockbuster, but I digress. It was a great movie, if you want to go and laugh with abandon. So, do you like movies? Raise your hand if you like to go to the movies every once in a while. That's good. And you can see them at home. We all have those special movies, right? And some of us have yet to see our special movie, because we're all ages in this room, right? And we realize that when we're in the movie theater, that at some point, if it's a certain kind of a movie, especially summer blockbusters, that they take us over. And they start driving our own imaginations, and they kind of snatch at our common sense and throw that away too. And when we talk about them, like I just did for a second, you can sort of hear people differently. People have strong opinions about their movies. So you'll hear someone, especially if you're a Star Trek lover, right? Someone will say, Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, best movie ever. And they'll say it, they'll think they're being kind of calm, you know, but then someone's at them and they say, are you kidding? No, it was Search for Spock. And then it rises up, right? And then someone else gets ticked off and it's without a doubt, no, that's wrong. It was in 2009 when Chris Pine took over, and they are going at it. And that is some serious discussion, because who we are talking about in those movies is who we are in some ways. It's a subject that we're all experts on. And if you're an expert, you feel very confident about sharing your opinion, right? Now, it's a rare exception that you would hear that in any other genre, really. You don't really hear people talk about theater like that out in public so much. You don't really hear people talk about photography or novels. And really, theater, photography, and novels are the parents and grandparents of the summer blockbuster. That's where it all came from. And there are still people alive right now who were alive before moving pictures. I mean, that's still true. So it's really a relatively new thing. But like conversations, if you imagine, about novels and stage, it's more like talking when your parents are in the room, right? So you're calmer. You use your polite inside voice. You say, well, my opinion is that this was good. But you're entitled to your own. But not with the movies. not with the movies, because we bring our whole selves to the movies. And why do we do that? I think it's because we're offered an opportunity when we're in those theaters or in front of those screens to decide again, what kind of person am I? Or what kind of person am I going to be? Why do we do that? Because our lives are not always that grand. I don't know about yours, but my life is not always that grand. It isn't fun enough. It isn't large enough. It's not challenging enough. It isn't real enough. It's not meaningful enough. And sometimes it really, really feels mundane. And the movies aren't like that. The movies aren't like that. So when my life that I bring with me into that theater seat comes, we realize as we watch those pictures that maybe we want to make a change. And it's in those little moments of insight that we might say grace is visiting us. It's a moment of grace where we can maybe allow ourselves to try something on that's new, that maybe even we've given up on, to try and live a little bit differently. But the decision is not always easy to uphold, because living out our lives in the real intentional way that we long to do, out of our faith, out of our values, it's hard. And it can be really confusing too, to find the right path, because there are so many paths to follow. From all these summer movies and any movies, really, think about all the options that were offered about how to live and who to love and what shoes to wear and what's totally hip. We figure out by watching these movies, you know, we sit there and we think, oh, that's how I would drive my starship, definitely. Now, I'm going to say you may laugh, but think about it. We have learned to wield life's lightsabers, right? From the movies. They didn't exist before that. We had swords, but not lightsabers. And people have fantasies about that. From the movies, we understand the pain of war. The pain of war in many different aspects. From the movies, we think about a different life of heroism, not just of superheroes, but of regular people. The movies give us the perfect landscape for the perfect wedding proposals, right? Man, there are some beautiful wedding proposals. The best moment to hit our home run, fantasy man. The best moment to catch the winning touchdown. It's all there, right before us. And my favorite, really, in all seriousness, is the movies give us soundtracks. Soundtracks for living. Our lives really go on display at the movies, if only on a little bit grander scale, I'll give you that. So we can see a movie, right, and wonder for ourselves, what if I could do that? What if I were just a little bit braver? What if I was just a little bit calmer? I always ask that. Look at how calm that person is, and all that stuff unfolded, and they didn't say a word. Jason Bourne is like that. He just sits there. I wonder if I talk like that, would I get those results? We wonder that. We bring ourselves in and we wonder, what path am I going to choose? And it's not just a postmodern quest. It was true for ancient human beings too. That's what Matt was reading for us from the psalm. It's talking to folks just like us. That psalm that we heard this morning in part is considered actually a sermon by scholars. And like all good sermon, a psalm challenges, like this sermon, its hearers to try and think about something and make a decision. It's time to make a decision. And the basis for the decision in this psalm is, like Jesus is preaching, grounded in the reality of God's claim on the whole world. That's what they were trying to express. Unless the sermon sounds just kind of judgmental, because that's really old language, we should remember that God's purpose, no matter how the words sound, God's purpose in judgment is to set people and things right for love and justice. That's God's purpose. To set people and things right for love and justice. But justice for whom? Justice for whom? Things aren't always what they seem, you know, and the movies are not, they don't always hit it right. I found out back in 1954, there was a movie, I watched part of it this week, called The Wild One. It's a classic movie. And this, the purpose of this movie was to warn young people of the dangers of becoming a juvenile delinquent. That's what they used to call it, young people. Okay, which means like don't do bad things, but you were called a juvenile delinquent. And you were not to be in a motorcycle gang. That was like the worst of the worst. And to stay away from motorcycle gangs and that kind of behavior would keep you on the path of righteousness. And this movie totally backfired. Let's look at the picture, Greg. Yeah. So after this movie came out, guess what? Sex Symbol was born. Guys were wearing leather jackets and gloves and those kind of hats. That's Marlon Brando, if you don't know who he is, was. And that was a watershed. And it was considered a complete backfire. Because the young people that went to the movie loved it for all the wrong reasons. You know? It happens. A director can't always control the takeaway message. It's true in church, too. And this summer, we had one of those movies where I want to say the director and the studio completely wanted to control the message. It was back in June, the one I saw, Man of Steel, saw it in 3D. That movie came complete, like Matt and I were getting things in the mail for at least 2 months ahead, inviting us to screenings, and we got sample sermons. I've never gotten that before. The studio hired a scholar, a theologian, to make sure we knew how Man of Steel was like Jesus. Like, I couldn't figure that out. So it was a miraculous story, right? So I went, and let's just go through it a little bit, how they wanted us to see that. Man of Steel, born in a miraculous way, true parentage, not known or understood by anyone other than his adoptive parents, who keep the secret from him for quite some time. And at the heart of the story, though, the part that I did like, is that Superman has a decision to make. This is not what the theologian wrote in the sermon that we were supposed to preach. So he had a decision that he had to make with respect to himself and humanity. And he lived this life and he was wondering, will we, as you know, earthly mortals, reject him as an alien if he ever reveals who his true parents are. It's Jor-El and Laura, and they're from the planet Krypton. And the reason Krypton is not doing so well, it's going to implode. And they have a caste system there, and you're born, and they decide for you in these pod things, you're going to be this, and you're going to be that. So you're genetically engineered to fill one role and one role only in society. So Jor-El and Laura don't want this for their child. So they break all the rules and have an actual natural birth, because it's not a pod thing. And they have a baby and they send him to Earth. That's Superman. And fully aware that they have to make this sacrifice, there's the sacrifice thing, Jor-El tells his wife, I got to get the quote, he will be a god to them. Okay, Superman's on Earth and he grows up with his adoptive family, Diane Lane, who is Martha Kent, and she's a compassionate mom, and Kevin Costner as Jonathan Kent, the overprotective, silent, strong father. And then he grows up and he comes of age, 33 years old, also very heavy-handed. Yeah, whatever. And at that time, Joel visits his son, Superman on Earth, if you haven't seen it. And they have these hologram things. And he visits his son and he tells him, expresses his desire that he will reveal his true identity to the people of Earth in order to promote hope and peace and love. You will give the people an ideal to strive toward, he says, and they will race behind you and they will stumble and they will fall, but in time they will join you in the sun, and in time you will help them accomplish great wonders. So that's what his true father wants for him and mother. His earthly parent says, I don't think you should do this. Don't do it. Keep your identity secret. Don't tell, because you're not just anyone, and one day you're going to have to make a choice about this, so keep all of this bottled up inside of you. And don't let it out. Because once you make a decision, Clark, then there's no going back. You got to decide what kind of man you want to grow up to be. And whoever that man is, good or bad, because of who your true parentage is, it's going to change the world. That's what that psalmist is saying to us. I don't know if you heard that, because the ancient language makes it hard. It said this, mark this. You can hear it. Mark this, Clark Kent. Mark this. You who forget God, I will tear you apart. There will be no one to deliver. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice, honor me. Those who go the right way, I'll show the salvation of God. See, God's people, whether we are in ancient Israel or we're in East Sacramento, are called to make decisions, to attend to the substance and meaning of their religious activities and their proclamation, and not merely just go through the motions. We talk a lot about that here. They're called to give offerings as an act of thanksgiving rather than grudgingly surrendering what they imagine is their own. Like if you go gambling and you win money and you think it's your own. That's erroneous. Just saying. We're called to be disciplined and led by the words of our faith. And not merely to just recite them, right? What if Superman knew all those things about himself, never practiced them really, and just said, yeah, I'm strong. Yeah, I can leap tall buildings. I never do it, but I can. Nobody would think he was super anything. We have to make decisions about how we're going to live our life. And the message of Psalm 50 is that in seeking to follow God's call, the people then give honor to God and learn more about the way of God's salvation. It's a human moment, and we all approach it, and it's a moment when all of us will come to it eventually. What's your choice? What sort of person do you want to be? Being a person of good faith is like that. And I don't have much else to say on the subject. It's really basic. And the way we do it here at the table is to work really hard as we can, at doing good, trying to do no harm, practicing spiritual disciplines that then will take us deeper into the heart of God's mystery. That's how we leap tall buildings in a single bound. Sometimes, and there are people in this room, sometimes people who make these decisions, their life is completely altered. Sometimes when I'm with some of you who have made these decisions, and you know me, I'm a weepy kind of dramatic person, I can hear your theme music. I can hear it. It's beautiful. Sometimes, though, it's not that dramatic. Sometimes you've been at this for a while and it's as simple as deciding to buy one of those backpacks back there. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as responding to what Matt said. We got three more Sundays. Do you want the kids in the sanctuary? Just checking. Three more Sundays. That's called reaching in love. I know, it doesn't feel spectacular, does it? But they'll feel loved. And they'll be in the space that's right for them. And some of us will sacrifice our space just for 45 minutes. Just being aware that we have these decisions to make, that the lives we live are precious and important, that is grace. And movies remind us of that. Every moment is a potential moment for noticing. Whether it's to say yes or to say no, the relationship that beckons us and the truth that longs to be shared, our truth is right here, right now.
One of the ways that we touch into that truth is to take time to respond to God's grace and love in prayer. And I want to say a couple things as we transition to that. We're going to have music, and you're welcome to stay right where you are as we pray. Some of us might need to move around because that helps us to notice and to connect with God's grace. And over here along the side, there are places where you can kneel and to light candles. The truth about Clark Kent was true before he made the decision. It just was. And he had choices about whether and how he was going to express that, acknowledge it, live into that. And the truth about all of you is that you're beloved children of God. That's not a choice, it just is. All of us in this space, all of creation, beloved children of God. But how we respond to that, the decisions that we make are up to us. And God is luring us toward a decision of following God in ways of love and justice. And that looks differently for each of us. And it would be beautiful if it was about jumping over big buildings. But the truth is, it's like getting up tomorrow and being nice to the folks that you live with and then learning how to meet your neighbor for some of us. It's big things like that, like figuring out how to live life together with the people that we want to love, but sometimes we find it hard. And so as we move into this time of prayer, I'd invite you to do those two things. To simply hold that deep truth of grace that you're a beloved child of God, that the folks around you are as well, and to just let that wash over you, because sometimes that's the hardest thing. And then to notice what decisions are before you. Some of them feel good, some of them feel hard. Decisions about who and how you'll be with the people around you. Let us move into this time of prayer as we sing together. Or as the music just moves in us, let us pray.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others that are calling. Dark horse.